It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Purple ribbon sugarcane tastes a little different from its tropical relative. For a while, it thrived on Sapelo Island off the coast of Georgia. Then, disease nearly wiped it out in North America altogether. Now, a team of farmers, geneticists, and historians have come together to bring back the purple ribbon sugarcane, or try, and in doing so, help save Gullah Geechee culture. Here to tell us more about this is Cornelia Bailey. She's a local historian and the founder of Sapelo Island Cultural and Revitalization Society. Hi there, Cornelia.
Good morning.
Also with us is Jerome Dixon. He's the owner of Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms. Hi, Jerome.
Hello.
Hi there. And David Shields is a professor at the University of South Carolina and chair of the Carolina Gold Rice Foundation. Hi, David.
Hi. Good to be here, Celeste.
It's good to have you. Jerome, you have already begun growing some purple ribbon sugarcane. Is that correct?
Yes, we have already begun. The first process we had was 13 varieties. 84 plants were brought down to Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms, and we planted them out, and we grew them up until October the 31st of 2015. And we cut them down, and they are replanted back on the mainland and also back over on Sapelo Island.
So how are they doing?
The ones on the mainland are doing great. They're about maybe 12 inches tall right now. The banking process, we hadn't really begun uncover them. I guess Cornelia can tell you a little more about that right now, but the ones on the mainland are doing absolutely wonderful.
Cornelia, can you help us understand why purple ribbon sugarcane in particular is important to Gullah Geechee culture?
Well, I guess all sugarcane at the time was important to the Gullah Geechee culture because we had no choice. We were planting it during the days of slavery to make syrup, sorghum, and sugar, and make sugar with. So it was important. But then it became important to us individually after that, because then we planted it for our own use. We also had small mills, and we grind them into syrup and that sort of stuff, and so we had our own way. It was for medicinal purposes, it was for food purposes, so we had our own uses for it.
David, why did purple ribbon sugarcane, as I understand it, was imported to North America and the States sometime in the 1800s from the West Indies, and it did well for a long time. Why did it almost die out?
Well, it's a very interesting type of cane. There had been many attempts to grow sugar in the colonial period and process it, but the cold weather on the mainland would kill back most sugar canes. But this purple ribbon was cold tolerant, had thicker walls than other sugar canes, and so enabled for the first time substantial quantities of sugar to be produced on the mainland. And for close to a century, it was the standard crop cane throughout the South. But Sapelo Island, in terms of the East Coast, was the ground zero for the production of this at the Spalding Sugar Works. And then at the beginning of the 20th century, various offsprings of the purple ribbon sugar cane, like blue ribbon cane and Louisiana purple cane, were found to be more productive and less disease vulnerable. And they supplanted the parent cane, and it ceased to be grown except by very few people who were cane syrup fanatics and loved the taste.
Let me play you this comment from Stephen Kresovich, a geneticist at Clemson University who has worked on this project. He talked about how tough it was to actually bring back this plant without an original sample.
The challenge that we have is we have the DNA profiles of what we have. What we don't have is a DNA sample of something that's documented to be purple ribbon from 1815 from Sapelo Island.
David, why couldn't they just bring purple ribbon back again from the West Indies?
Well, it's not found there right now. And indeed, we went through a search of all of the world germplasm banks looking for this sugar cane. Steve Kresovich is a very famous cane geneticist and well-connected, and it was not to be found.
Jerome, is there a significant difference between the taste of Purple Ribbon and the regular sugar cane we buy at the store?
Well, the Purple Ribbon, it's the first time that I've ever handled it in my life, and I've been around sugar cane since I was a little boy, but the taste is just the sweetness of it and the juice content of it. It was the sweetest cane that I ever handled before.
And does that mean that the recipes, Cornelia, that Purple Ribbon sugar cane is used in, are those taste different as well?
It basically tastes the same, but like Jerome said, the amount of juice that you get from it gives you a higher volume of syrup once it boils down. And there was a slight difference in it because some was a little thicker than some. But once you put it on biscuit, it didn't matter.
So, Cornelia, I mean, yes. Now that we know a little bit about Purple Ribbon sugar cane, what role could this particular cane play in bringing young people back to Sapelo Island?
That's what I'm hedging my bet on. I'm hedging on the fact that if we successfully grow in this, then the young people get interested. I'm talking it up to the young people as we speak. I'm steady telling the young people what a great thing it'll be. It'll be environmentally safe and so forth. And I got them interested. So that if we can grow it in a large quantity, I think we got the makings to bring some young people back to the island, which we need desperately.
Jerome, are you hedging your bets that way also? Are you also hoping that the growing of this cane can bring some young people back?
Well, I'm definitely hopeful. And I would say even me being going back over there working with Cornelia and them on the island, I mean, it's a start. You know, at one point I wasn't interested, but I mean, it's just something that's so phenomenal to be able to handle something by choice now. Once upon a time, ancestors had to do it, you know, by force. So now we're able to do it at our own leisure, and I'm hoping that everybody would want to get on board to do it, you know.
I sure hope so. Well, we're getting ready to lime our field. It's already plowed up, and we're going to put some lime on it. And hopefully next week, ours is already sprouted up about a foot, like you said, and we're from 6 to 12 inches, so we have to carefully remove it from the bank, what we call it, the bank, and carefully move it from that and transport it to the field.
David, I'll play you another comment from Steven Kresovich. He's talking about growing Purple Ribbon sugarcane in particular.
It's a difficult crop to work with because you're dealing with ultimately stalks that might be 10 to 12 feet tall and weigh 3 to 4 pounds. That's different than taking small amounts of seed out of the field that represent an important variety. So sugarcane production is reasonably challenging, and the people at Sapelo recognize that, and they are trying to understand or think about how they want to best handle the material.
What are the challenges to turning Purple Ribbon sugarcane into a crop that can make money and actually produce these jobs?
Well, one of the things which has to be decided is to what extent they want to process the cane on the island. Now, the word of this sugar cane has gone out through the culinary networks of the South, and distillers would like to get their hold on the juice to make rum out of. And they would take the stalks out and juice them themselves by direct. That would require the least amount of processing. But what is more traditional is the making of cane syrup. And there was an actual sugar cane mill that operated on that island, one of the largest in the United States for over 80 years, that produced granulated sugar. That would entail more capital investment. So I think the initial things would be to sell the canes directly to people who would want to process them, and their chefs who would love to get cane juice as well.
Jerome, what is your plan? Would you want to process the cane on the island or go take it elsewhere?
I would want to, you know, maybe try to process the cane on the island and on the mainland. David said, a lot of people will want to get their hands on it, but I feel like if we can process it over on the mainland and on the island, it would be, you know, to island's best interest to be able to handle it themselves, you know.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jerome Dixon, who you just heard, the owner of Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms, David Shields of the University of South Carolina and chair of the Carolina Gold Rice Foundation, and Cornelia Bailey is a local historian and founder of Sapelo Island Cultural and Revitalization Society. Cornelia, you said you're already having these discussions with young people. What kind of response or interest are you getting?
They seem to be interested. My son is in it. My cousin R. Jean is in it. My cousin Baba Jean. So a lot of them got the ears all perked up and ready to go. So,
what would they wait? What do you think they would be waiting on to actually get them to move back?
Show and tell.
What does that mean?
That means they're gonna have to see. They're interested in it. They don't mind planting it and helping me plant it, but they want to see how fast it grows, how much we can produce, and where we can sell it to. And then they could really sink their teeth in and said, hey, I can make a living doing this. So it's like show and tell. So we're the ground force. Jerome and I and others, we're the ground force to show the young people that it can be done. So
yes.
Jerome, how much are you hoping to plant eventually? How big of a purple ribbon sugarcane crop do you hope to have?
Well, at this point, when we harvested in October, we had at least an acre of cane cut down. Half went to Sapelo and half stayed on the mainland. So I'm looking to maybe at some point get to at least 5 acres of sugarcane, and that is a tremendously lot of cane.
That's a lot of cane. Yeah.
It's a lot of cane.
Would you need extra help to do that?
Would need help. You would need, and we probably would have to try to move to some kind of mechanism where, you know, some kind of machinery to be able to do that, you know, handling that much of cane, you know.
And David, if purple ribbon starts taking hold, how do we protect it from again almost dying out?
Well, that's why we bring scientists in. The Carolina Gold Rice Foundation makes sure that, you know, the best agricultural science backs up what, you know, goes on. There's a very traditional saltwater Geechee way of planting cane, but, you know, you have to make sure that the cane varieties that get in the ground are the right ones and are genetically sound and not vulnerable, and that's where Dr. Kresovich comes in, and we have pledged our support all the way down the line to make sure that what they're producing will have the least problems with pests and pathogens. So,
and how close is this variety of purple ribbon sugarcane to what was grown back in the 1800s?
I would imagine it's very close. We collected every old variety of sugarcane grown in America, and they were all actually grown out by Jerome. So he's seen them all side by side. And the purple ribbon has a very distinctive set of qualities. And one of the things, both Jerome and Cornelia mentioned this, the sweetness content, what's called the Brix, by people who measure the saccharin content of sap, is very high and very distinctive in purple ribbon, and it's not matched by the other canes.
Cornelia, if I had some purple ribbon sugar cane, what would you suggest I make with it? What's the best use of it?
If you just only had a little bit, then you're going to have to process it into syrup, and then it's good for syrup cornbread. Is good for people who like syrup on their rice, which I never did like as a child. And my grandfather did. And my father uses it for medicinal purposes as well.
Medicinal purposes? What does the cane syrup cure?
They made a tea for men who work in the sun all day. And they said to keep them from getting a stroke or getting the bear, is they would leave them home in the morning and they would have a quart jar with syrup tea in it, and they would sip on that during the heat of the day.
Is that kind of similar to sweet tea that's drunk?
Yeah, it's similar to sweet tea. The only thing is made out of syrup, 100% syrup.
So really sweet.
Well, no, you can regulate the sweet. You don't want it that sweet. You put, you know, more water in it.
Yeah. And Jerome, did you want to add anything to that recipe book she just gave us?
Oh, no. Kania is the best with that. I'll let her take care of that part.
Okay, thanks, so Jerome, at some point we are expected to be able to buy Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms Purple Ribbon Sugarcane Syrup, right?
Yeah, Sapelo Island Purple Ribbon Cane.
I sure hope so.
Yep, absolutely.
And when
absolutely.
Will that happen, do you think?
We just have to get us a sugar mill, old-fashioned sugar mill, yes.
All right.
Well, this year in October, we should be cutting them down again, and they should be ready for sale, you know.
Okay, that is Cornelia Bailey, local historian, founder of Sapelo Island Cultural and Revitalization Society, and Jerome Dixon, owner of Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms. David Shields is a professor at the University of South Carolina and chair of the Carolina Gold Rice Foundation. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.